Hey there, I'm Kevin Daisy.
And I'm Eric Olson.
You're listening to the Managing Partners Podcast, where we interview top lawyers about how they're growing their firms. Hey there, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Managing Partners Podcast. I'm Kevin Daisy, and as always, I'm your host. And today I have a really cool gentleman that's coming on to join us. He's got a pretty interesting story and in how he has helped his firm kind of get back on track and grow beyond where they thought they could. And so today we're going to be talking about intake specifically. And so if you have those problems or you want to improve what you have, this will be a good episode for you. So Ben Leader, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for having me on, Kevin. Excited to be here. It's an honor to get to chat with you. And I was reviewing some of the prior episodes and certainly don't feel worthy of my name being listed with a lot of the other folks that have appeared before, but I'm excited about the opportunity and looking forward to chatting today.
Well, they might say otherwise once they hear this episode. So I appreciate that. But no, I mean, you have a cool story and a lot of value to add here. And that's the thing, like with this episode or with any episode, is getting that little nugget of value, right? And I run businesses. I say this all the time. I'm here learning just as like anyone else listening. And then I add my commentary, my experience if I can. But, you know, we're here to learn from you. And that's that little nugget, that little bit of information that someone can get and say, ooh, I didn't know that. I didn't try that before. And that's what we want to happen. So that's what this is all about. So, again, appreciate you taking time to come on. And so a little bit about Ben. I'll let him introduce himself. But his web address is down at the bottom. If you're watching on video, it's lrodpope.com. That's lrodpope.com. Check out his firm. They're based out of North Carolina, South Carolina. And yeah, we're going to dig into more about his background and firm here as well. So Ben, give us a little bit of background on yourself and how you got in this position and tell us more about the firm as well.
Yeah, well, I'm from Rock Hill, South Carolina originally. That's where our primary office is located. Grew up in Rock Hill, went to Clemson, as you can tell probably from some of the frames behind me. I'm a big Clemson Tiger fan. Went to law school at Campbell University in Raleigh, North Carolina, and then relocated back to South Carolina and clerked with the local circuit court judge for a year. Great experience doing that. Highly recommend that to anybody exiting law school. And then came to work at Elrod Pope directly after the clerkship. And so actually a second generation attorney. My dad is a Jack Leader and has been with Elrod Pope since I was 1 year old. He started working here in 1989. And so got to work with him for a decade or so before he kind of phased out a little bit into an of counsel role, but he's still involved with the firm, still here most days. And so it's been a really special experience getting to work with him for the better part of a decade and, you know, getting to learn from one of my, you know, biggest mentors and, you know, best friends. So really enjoy getting to work with him. And we got a really unique firm here. We're probably what most would call partner heavy. We've got 8 attorneys and 6 of us are partners. And so that adds a lot of positives, but also adds a lot of challenges in and of itself. And so I started in 2014. In my first 7 or 8 years here, I mainly just handled casework, focused on workers' comp and personal injury cases. And our firm actually started as a workers' comp firm back in the early 80s. And so for years, that was our bread and butter. We relied heavily on a lot of the industry that was in our area at the time that has since dried up for the most part. And so in the, you know, 2010 to 2020 range, we started seeing a big shift towards PI and away from workers' comp. I think when I started, we were probably 75% workers' comp. And since then, it's flipped completely to now where we're 75% PI for the most part. We've seen kind of a transition. Being a 40-year-old law firm, there were a lot of kind of archaic practices in place here. When I started, we had paper files on everything. We had an index card system for everything. No real tracking of data. No real tracking of marketing sources. It was kind of, you know, throw everything against the wall. And if something stuck, we assumed it probably came from, you know, this marketing campaign, but we very much had relied on kind of, you know, reputation and referrals for years. We didn't have to do a lot of marketing, and that's, you know, changed over the last, you know, 5-6 years. And so we were traditionally what I would call a boutique firm for the most part that had too many lawyers in it. We were very selective.
Identified as a boutique firm.
We had, very high selected process where we would, you know, take in good cases. We would turn down soft tissue cases. And a lot of the cases we would tell people, you know, you were in a bad wreck, you know, your treatment's kind of uncertain at this point. If you end up needing to see an orthopedic doctor, if you end up needing that surgery, call us back. And, you know, we would kind of kick that down the road. And for years, that's how we operated. And it still kind of makes me sick just thinking about how much leakage we had, you know, over that time period. But, you know, we kind of hit a rough patch, and I'd say around 2020, like a lot of law firms, we saw a pretty big drop off in revenue from 2019 to 2020, and then another drop off from 2020 to 2021. Prior to that, it was just kind of a roller coaster. I mean, it was either great or terrible, and there was really no in between. But in 2022, we realized, you know, we're really going to have to make some changes and adapt, that we're trending in the wrong direction on revenue. We're trending in the wrong direction, you know, with signed cases. And, you know, somebody asked us, where are you getting your cases from? And we really couldn't give them a good answer. You know, we could tell
you're just rolling. You're just rolling with the punches.
That's right.
No control, no clarity on what's coming in and what from.
That's right. We can tell you what we spent money on, but we couldn't really tell you, you know, what it produced for us. And so we kind of had a philosophical shift at that point where we decided we're going to have to start taking on more volume, you know, looking ahead 10 years, if we want to still be around, you know, we got to start expanding what we're willing to take and, you know, work those soft tissue cases up a little more. And I think we found that we probably turned down a lot of really good cases, you know, during that stretch where we were being too selective. I mean, a lot of the smaller cases have, you know, yielded a lot of our better cases, you know, since we made that shift.
Well, you know, in my experience, it takes a little pain and screwing up a little bit or doing something wrong or to make those changes. Like, you know, we need a little bit of crap. We shouldn't have done that. Or, you know, we should have done this. But that, yeah, that leads to those changes, Nick. You know, so if everything's just perfect all the time, you got no pain, no pressure, then what's the point? So
that's spot on. And 2021, actually, when we felt things going the wrong direction, we decided to spend, you know, six figures on a marketing campaign to try to save things. And we spent $120,000, and I cannot tie a single case to that entire campaign over the course of a year. And so in a lot of ways,
he did not hire us, by the way. So, you know,
that's right. That's exactly right. But look, I mean, it makes me sick to my stomach, but in a lot of ways it was a good thing, because by swinging and missing on that one, we were willing to take some chances on some other, you know, efforts. And we were always very tight on spending money on marketing. And, you know, after that, it's like, well, we blew $120,000 on that campaign. You know, what's $5,000 to have this audit done, or what's $10,000 to have, you know, try this out. And so it allowed us.
You didn't give up, you know. So, I mean, some people, though, I've heard stories or I've had people come to me and they did that, or they tried something one time and then they're just like, it just doesn't work. It's not for me. This will never work. And then they kind of retreat and go back to saying, hey, this isn't going to work. And, you know, they might not take those other chances, right?
That's right. So,
good on you guys.
So kind of learn from that mistake, but, you know, glad in the long run that we made it, you know, made us tolerate spending money a little easier. In 2022, we actually had an intake audit done. This was something I had never even heard of. A friend of mine and a mentor of mine, David Ayler, who I saw was one of your early guests on your podcast, is an attorney from Charleston, South Carolina, who passed away last year, actually. A great guy. Really would go out of his way to help anyone, even if, you know, they're in his own backyard. And so he had actually worked with the company that had approached us. And I reached out to David and asked about his experience. And he said, it is an absolute no-brainer. Spend the money. You're going to be blown away at what you find out. And so we kind of took a dive into that, and we let them monitor us basically from December through the end of February of 2022. So several month long kind of monitoring. They didn't, you know, our team didn't even really know this was taking place, but we had call rail in place. And so they were listening to every call, keeping up with, you know, which leads were being entered into lead docket. And
oh, wow.
At the end of February, they prepared a report for us. And at the time I was thinking, you know, we have a pretty good system in place. I feel like we signed most of the cases we want. That was my mentality. And I think everybody here thought that was the case. And so we got that report back, and it was jaw dropping. Most eye popping thing for me was we were missing 18% of our inbound calls, and we had no idea. And a lot of those calls were not rolling over to our after hour service like they were supposed to. And I was looking at the numbers earlier, you know, and roughly half of those missed calls were first time callers. And so, wow. You know, we kept thinking, what can we spend more money on? We need more cases. You know, this isn't working. This isn't working. And all along, it was really, you know, right under our noses. We just didn't have the proper processes in place to figure it out.
So you're fishing with holes in the net, right? So
that's right.
You can try to get more fish, but they're all going out the holes, right? So, I mean, imagine if you had 18% growth, you know, that you didn't get, right? That's a huge percentage right there.
Yeah. And so that was just sickening. And I'm sure you hear all the time where, you know, clients are questioning whether SEO is working or, you know, whether PPCs are working. And then y'all take a dive into the data and you see that, you know, there's some serious internal problems that are working against what y'all are doing and working against what they're doing too. And so it feels like it's hard to separate intake and, you know, a digital marketing company like yours, because they do overlap so much and they both have to be working together.
Well, yeah, to your point, and this is just me, I'm always transparent. We've kind of noticed some of that stuff, or we don't even maybe see what goes up after that. Hey, you got this many calls, you got this many of these, you know, we can track up that point. But now we're more than ever leaning more into, hey, you're not answering these calls. You're not getting these messages. They're not getting responded to. You know, we're checking in our clients and calling and being like, hey, I called you at 3 o'clock in the middle of the day and I couldn't get a hold of anybody. Like, and we're sending phone calls to you and you're spending money. Like, there's obviously some problems. So it's very common. And now we're starting to lean more into that, like, consulting side of it, because, you know, like you said, you went and spent a bunch of money. I don't want a client spending money with me and then their internal processes are so broken that they're never going to be happy with what we're doing anyway. So we need the clients to win so that we stay with them and they stay with us. So yeah, 100%. And I think a lot of agencies out there, they're not responsible for that part, but it'd be a lot better if they at least had some accountability there and they could actually at least have some training or discussions around, hey, you know, we're going to check your system and see if we can improve it. You're going to have to improve it, but we'll at least give you our 2 cents.
Absolutely. And, you know, I started listening to some of the calls. You know, that's something I had never done in the past, just never had the time to really do it. And so I started listening to some of them, and they highlighted a few for me they wanted me to listen to. And I'll never forget, one of them was a wrongful death call where somebody had been killed at a motel parking lot, essentially. And we had a number of problems, but our phone charts, flow chart system that we had in place was a nightmare in and of itself. I actually found a copy of it that we were using at the time. And this was what the front desk was supposed to be following in order to figure out, you know, who to route potential client calls to. And so it was, you know, on Monday from 1 to 3, it was this paralegal, you know, from 3 to 5, it was this paralegal. And just the amount of time it took, and there were, you know, 4 or 5 people on the list that they would try to get the call to. And so it makes perfect sense looking back now why we had so many missed and abandoned calls, is, you know, we were leaving them on hold for way too long trying to find, you know, somebody to speak with them. And we've since, you know, built an intake team, and we have 2 people dedicated to that role, and that's all they do. But back then, we were trying to, you know, have attorneys be involved, have paralegals be involved, and nobody really wanted to do it. And so it you know, worked against us in a lot of ways. But
yeah, well, who's responsible for it, right? Who's accountable for it? How are you measuring it? Because yeah, there's any ambiguity with something. I know with my team, we just had a leadership meeting all week here, and we found a lot of that where people were like, someone else would probably do it, but then no one does it. Because it's, well, I got my role and I know what I'm doing. And so that'll become a problem real quick, especially if you don't want to do it, you know, then that makes it even easier to be like, yeah, someone else will pick it up.
That's right. And this paralegal, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I wanted to hear some of these kind of stats and stuff for folks that are listening, like just some of the impacts that you were able to make as well. And then we can maybe get into more of like what you did. Because I think the numbers were pretty huge. Just kind of like anyone listening going, okay, I'm tuned in now. Let me listen to what Ben did to fix those things, you know?
That's right. Sure. I'll dive into that. To wrap up the story about the wrongful death, it was a paralegal having a terrible week. She didn't want the call. She got the call. She ended up referring it out to a criminal defense attorney because she didn't think it was something we handled, and, you know, negligent security, and it could have been a really good case. And so that was the kind of aha moment where I realized we're going to need to move forward with these intake consultants and, you know, have them take a dive into helping us fix this. But from 2014 to 2021, we were signing about 165 cases a year on average. I think our highest year was a 181 and our lowest was in the 140s. And so we were pretty consistent, pretty steady, right around 165 cases. We started this intake process in early 2022. In 22, we ended up signing up 363 cases. And then in 2023, we ended up signing up 512 cases. And so, you know, I think around 210% growth in total signed cases over, you know, the 2 year stretch. And the craziest thing about that is we did not spend any extra money on marketing. You know, we had had that failed campaign and we took those funds and shifted those into kind of internally fixing our own problems versus spending more money. And we just saw, you know, the leads skyrocket, the signed cases skyrocket. And it was stuff that was, you know, right under our noses all along that was just leaking.
That is crazy. I mean, that's a massive increase in 2 years, basically doubling. Yeah. Twice almost. Right.
That's right. And so, you know, with that comes a lot of growing pains, which we're sorting out now and still trying to, you know, make sure we're running the cases through the process as efficiently as possible and still, you know, providing the client experience we want to provide. That was, you know, a concern of ours with volume and growth. Are we going to lose the family feel or the personal touch, you know, we try to give everyone. And so we're working through a lot of those, you know, issues now, but looking back, I think the best money we spent was on our intake department. And we work with a company, Legal Intake Pros, and it was supposed to be kind of a 6 month, you know, project. And it's at a point now where I don't feel like I can ever let them go. You know, the amount of cases that they save us far outweighs what we pay them each month. And rarely does a month go by where they don't find something that potentially slipped through the cracks or that needs an extra follow-up. And they listen to every call. They rate every call based on a scorecard.
Wow, you know, they're that's awesome.
Consistent on every lead being entered. That was another thing that we had a big problem with that we didn't know, that a lot of leads were not being entered into to lead docket, which is what we use.
And okay, that's your case management software?
That's right. Yeah, we use FileVine for case management and lead docket all on the intake side on the front end. And we had gotten into the pattern without realizing it. You know, if there was a case that had called that wasn't a case, somebody was in the middle of something, you know, they just wouldn't enter that one into the system. And once you start allowing one of those exceptions to take place, it's, you know, snowball rolling downhill. And suddenly we realized a pretty big chunk of leads were not being entered, some of which, you know, could have turned into potential cases. And so that was one area they identified immediately was, you know, every lead needs to be entered meticulously into the system with a marketing source. You know, just because it's not a case doesn't mean you don't want to know where that lead came from or, you know, whether this campaign's bringing a bunch of, you know, bad leads to you. So
yeah, for sure. Or they have a case down the road during your system. Maybe you have some marketing drip to them or email reminders or retargeting. Who knows, right?
That's right. And so it's
or they might have a good experience, even though they didn't have a case, and then they refer a friend that has a case the same month. Who knows? There's a lot of different reasons you'd want to have that lead in the system.
You know? Sure. And we had never nurtured our, you know, leads list or prior client list. You know, we had no database. And so that's something we're really leaning into now is, you know, we paid for these leads. We might as well, you know, use them to our advantage. And so, and it's not easy. I mean, we received a lot of pushback from staff when you're telling them you have to, you know, focus on all this data entry around the clock. And we've got two really great intake team members and, you know, they're great with people. You know, that's their strength is their skill set is talking to people and, you know, being personable, but then to also be able to have to be, you know, focused on data entry so much, it's a tough balance to find. And it, you know, there were some tough months there where we were getting started with this, where we got some pushback, but I think they ultimately saw the results in their numbers and their conversions in particular, you know, significantly increased. And so they bought in after that, but it did take, you know, 2 or 3 months worth of really forcing, you know, this process on everyone.
Oh, yeah, I can imagine. And that's happened a lot here with our folks when we make a change. We make a lot of changes, you know, you got to stay up with what's going on. And no one likes it at first. I don't either. Like, I do things different than I used to all the time. I just made some big changes with, you know, how I'm recording stuff. And we do some time tracking now just so we know, like, where people's time's at. Not to track their time because we have unlimited paid time off and we just don't track it like that. But we need to still know what people are doing so we know how much stuff costs us so that we can price things properly. So it's, so there's, you know, new stuff like that, no one ever likes it. But eventually it just becomes part of the normal day. And And then most of the time I'll hear, you know what? I'm glad we're doing that because now we know this and this and that. Like, so it all works out typically.
Hey there. This is Kevin Daisy, your host and founder of Array Digital. If you're tired of wasting money with agencies that just can't get it done, then please check out my law firm, digital marketing agency at arraydigital.com. If you contact us there, you'll be sure to line up a meeting with me where we'll walk through your exact situation and come up with a plan for what you can do to improve your marketing results. I look forward to talking to you. Now back to the show.
I would like to know, you know, maybe just a couple of the things that were major that maybe that you made changes that were just like, bam, like major, like, oh man, I can't believe we were missing that. Or, you know, obviously you got two intake folks, your phone system, you know, what were some major things that really changed that made a big difference?
Yeah. So
folks one listening that could maybe pick up on. So
one that immediately pops out to me is we used to force every potential caller to speak with an attorney. We thought that was a benefit that we were providing that other firms were not, that if you call us, you're going to get to chat with an attorney, whether it's, you know, a case we can handle or not, you're going to get, you know, time to speak with an attorney. And what we've learned is that a lot of people don't care about that. They want, you know, somebody to be able to help them immediately. And if an intake person is available to sign that case up and, you know, transition it to pre-litigation paralegal, that client's going to be much happier than if you're scheduling them 3 days out to speak with an attorney. They'll find somebody else that can help them during that stretch. And so, you know, we thought we were providing this benefit, but we learned it's really not necessary for the attorney to have to be involved, you know, in every step of the intake process. And in fact, it actually probably hurts us more than it helps us a lot of the time due to busy schedules and everything else.
No, that's huge right there. And yeah, you know, I just actually threw my back out this weekend. So I had to go to the chiropractor. Well, I had to do like an intake and I had to talk to someone and it was like a couple of days before I got to meet with the doctor at all or see anybody. So, but you want to be heard and you want to get someone on the phone quickly and you want to be able to make sure that, are they going to be available for you? And I think I, you know, I had no problem with talking to someone else there. I don't expect the doctor to answer the phone. So, but no, what you're saying, I see a lot of firms that say that and they're usually small and they use that to their advantage. You talk right to the attorney. And at the end of the day, it's a disadvantage because the attorney's going to be in court or they're busy, depending on what kind of law you're practicing. I know a lot of lawyers that are my clients or podcast guests, they're hard to get a hold of. So, you know, you can't make them wait. They're not going to wait. They're going to go to someone else. Because at this point, they don't barely know who you are. They maybe seen your website, maybe some marketing that you've done, but they're not dedicated to you at this point. Right.
That's exactly right. You know, if it's a warm lead from a referring attorney, you know, they may be willing to wait a couple of days. But if it's somebody from a web form or, you know, SEO or something, you know, they're probably getting multiple submissions, multiple firms calling them. And it's all about, you know, responsiveness. And so that was a transition because the intake team was trained and was used to just passing them off to the attorney to close. And so suddenly they were, you know, asked to start closing cases. And we were terrified that, you know, they're going to, you know, not close the seven-figure case. And so, you know, there's always going to be exceptions where we need to get an attorney involved right away. But one of the things we did is we said, okay, for every case that y'all sign up without an attorney being involved, we'll give both of you $25. And so we started seeing that, you know, accumulate month by month by month. And, you awesome. Know, we still have that in place. And, you know, I think I shelled out $500 or $600, you know, last month for what I call these independent signups. And, you know, so far this year, you know, they've taken at least 35, 40, you know, signups off of attorneys' plates and been able to sign
that's
those
awesome.
Up themselves.
I love that. So an incentive system to have them do it on their own. I like that. I have a similar thing here. If one of my employees refers a client or, you know, say if you're a client and they were like, hey, Ben, you really need to do this other thing. And I can hook you up with Kevin. And then you say, all right, let's do it. Then they get a bonus. So, you know, it's nice to have your whole team, you know, involved in the success, you know, of the firm.
And for us, you know, we're in somewhat rural South Carolina. We're a suburb of Charlotte. And so, you know, money here probably goes further than it does in a lot of places. And so we were trying to find that, you know, the breaking point, what's enough to make them care, but, you know, not too much to break the bank. And I'm in one of Ken Hardison's mastermind groups, and it was funny to hear the amounts that different people from around the room use for these incentives. And there was a guy in Denver that, you know, offers $100 for the same incentive we offer $25 for. And he still struggles to get, you know, traction with that. And so I think, you know, it's going to be different at every firm, but finding that amount that's enough to make them care is crucial. And
if you're in California, you need $1,000 a pop.
That's exactly right.
I'm in Virginia, so we're pretty, we're kind of similar to you, I guess.
That's right. And I didn't think $25 was going to, you know, make that big of a difference. I had actually started, you know, thinking we were going to start at 100, and thank the Lord we didn't, or my law partners would have, you know, kicked me out the door over that. But
well, I mean, if you sign up a couple of cases in a day, that can make an extra $100 or a couple hundred bucks a week, you know, I mean,
yeah,
if you get good at it, it can add up real quick. And then you got a little competition going, right?
Exactly.
Who can get, and then here's the thing, they get better at it and they learn and they know what to look out for, what cases not to sign up, which ones to sign up. So I think it's awesome. I like it.
And that actually fueled us to start rolling out similar incentives for all types of things. That was something we never did before. You know, if the firm was profitable, everybody gets a bonus. If not, we don't. But we never really had incentives in place. And so that was all a credit to that intake company and Yanni that helped us kind of establish these intake incentives that, you know, bled over into other areas of the firm. And, you know, we have incentives tied to how many cases they sign up. Last year, our goal was to sign 500 and we signed 512. And when that happened, everybody in the office got $500, not just the intake folks, but, you know, case managers, runners, everybody that is a part of it, because you will start to see some friction between intake and case managers when, you know, they're getting dumped, you know, more and more cases on them and their caseloads are, you know, significantly increasing. And so we found that incentive kind of brought us all together. And I was sitting in my office and heard the whole office, you know, erupt into, you know, cheers and clapping and, you know, had to go across the street to the bank and make a pretty sizable withdrawal to give everybody $500. So
you're like, oh man, this works. I guess I got to pay everybody now.
That's right. But we do it quarterly with signed cases. The intake team has, you know, quarterly goals. They have annual goals with signed cases that are tied to specific incentives now. We do it with conversion rates. That's another big topic that we could probably rant all day about. But, you know, we thought we signed every case that we wanted. Every attorney I hear that does not really dive into intake, you know, has the same mentality that they think they sign most cases. But I've yet to find somebody that's worked with a company like this that wasn't very surprised by what they ultimately found out, and that the conversion rates are typically a lot lower than people kind of pride themselves on.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you know, salespeople or in any kind of area, or you talk to owners, like, you know, I'm an owner in sales, if you will. I close like everybody, 3 out of 4, you know, if they're the right fit and I can talk to them, like, I'm going to close them. Right. So, but if you really peel it back and track that data, then you start to see that, okay, maybe not. And then you find reasons why, you know, and some might be for good reasons for the business, depending on, you know, like for me, if I have a salesperson, they're going to try to close any lawyer we talk to, where I do not want to close every lawyer we talk to because they're not a fit for our firm. Right.
Right.
And that could be the personality. It could be their expectations. It could be a lot of things, but I kind of control that on purpose. So, but still, the ones that I'm like, hey, they were perfect. They didn't go with us. What happened? You know, what can we have done better, or what changes can we make?
And I've heard of some firms going as far as to have every lead that's marked as lost in their system. You know, the managing partner in my role, kind of overseeing intake, gets a message about it, and, you know, can look into every lost lead and figure out, okay, did they hire another attorney? What was our response time? And really, you know, dive into why this lead was lost and
call each one of them. Hey, this is the managing partner over here.
That's right. if you're doing it in real time,
the manager call, they call it.
Yeah. And if you're kind of doing that in real time or paying a company to do it, you know, you can get ahead of those and possibly save some of those cases. But, you know, that's really the big takeaway I had from the entire intake, you know, optimization, consulting, audit process, was that I don't have the time to do this right myself. And it is well worth every penny for us to pay somebody who specializes in quality control and monitoring these things and teaching us how to use Lead Docket to our advantage. We were probably using, you know, 30% of what Lead Docket offered at that time. And, you know, integrations and UTMs were something that we just weren't, you know, well-versed enough to know how to figure out.
I mean, it's great. Yeah. I mean, the firm understanding a lot of that stuff and marketing and the data is important. And I think, you know, we've definitely had some clients that are like, whatever, just here's the numbers I want. Here's the phone calls I want. But, you know, understanding the data and the firm itself being able to know, because if they hire someone else or they bring their own marketing people, you just need to understand all that stuff and what it means. And if if it goes down, say organic traffic goes down, what does that mean? How's it going to affect you? And just understanding those things is important. But also, I like the fact that you have these intake folks, and it's not a one-time thing. Like, it's like working out. Like, you got to continue to go. And then if you get comfortable, say you fire, you know, they were done, you can slip right back in. You have a couple new employees coming into the, you know, come into the firm. Maybe you like have an intake person leave and another one comes in, and then all of a sudden you're starting to leak again, right? and go back down to a different level of leads. So, you know, the fact that you guys have kept them and continue to improve and find holes is great. So
yeah. In any other business or line of work, I feel like that would be kind of 101 is, you know, quality control, call auditing. But for whatever reason, you know, the field of law loves to be archaic in every sense. And so it was just not something we had ever even, you know, thought of. And so I don't by any stretch, you know, couch myself to be an intake expert, but I know now that it's well worth me bringing in experts to, you know, help us move forward and to continue to grow. And that's been, you know, probably the single, other than, you know, working with Ken and the mastermind group, those two things have really, you know, propelled our growth and positioned us to where I feel like now we can actually do some things right with marketing and, you know, capture what we're actually getting back.
Yeah, no, I love it. And yeah, Ken Hardison, shout out to Ken, Pilma, great group to check out if you're PI mostly. Is it all PI in Pilma?
It is mostly PI.
So if you're a PI firm, you never heard of Pilma or Ken Hardison, hit me or Ben up and we'll connect you. But great group of lawyers that get to mingle and learn from each other and share what like Ben has brought to the table here. But yeah, so once your intake is pretty dialed in, then yeah, you spend money on marketing, spend money on advertising. You can do all those things that you want to do to get your name out there based on your growth goals, of course. But and then know that at least you're capturing majority of what you're, you know, bringing in. Then if the marketing is not working, it's a lot more clear, right?
Right.
It's like, hey, I spent 120 grand and our intake is dialed in and we got nothing, or we only got, you know, this many, then that's not an ROI. And then you can start to adjust your marketing.
That's right. That's exactly right. And, you know, everybody in my group will not make the same $120,000 mistake that we made with, you know, a vendor in the past. And so little things like that have been a huge help to David Ayler, you know, being able to use him as a sounding board before diving into that intake process. And so we've saved ourselves a lot of headaches just by learning from some of those other folks' mistakes. And I'm sure they've learned from many, many of our mistakes too.
Yeah. I mean, that's why these groups are so good. You know, any kind of peer group, entrepreneur group, or, you know, like Pilma, great legal marketing. You got Eight Figure Firm with Louis Scott. There's a lot of groups out there that I would vouch for. Join one of them. Join some, you know, try it out because it'll save you a ton of money. And Ben, you should put together a little speech, a breakout or something. But you can say, come to my talk and I'm going to save you $100,000. And then you can tell the story of about how you lost $100,000. So, and then your whole pitch will be the intake. But I, you know, honestly, I don't know who else would know that there's an intake consulting company or team that you can bring in. Like, you know, so some of these things we don't think about. And now hopefully people have just heard you talk about it and say, oh, phew, I didn't even know that existed. And what was the company that you used? I'm happy to plug them here.
Yeah, we use Legal Intake Pros. Yanni Smith is the founder and CFO of the company, I believe. And she's been phenomenal. She worked for a law firm in South Carolina prior to really diving into the intake focus. And so she's been a marketing, you know, director at a firm. She's kind of seen both sides of it. You know, at one point she was the one reaching out to y'all saying, we need more leads. We need more leads. And now she sees the other side of it that, you know, the firm may be the problem more so than the SEO company.
It's a good point. I mean, you know, a lot of, you know, the firms will keep the agency at arm's length. They don't want to get too deep in with them and they just want the leads and that's it. It's definitely a more collaborative effort. And so that your agency, whoever you're using, can start to see those things. They should be asking those questions. But if not, you ask them and bring them up if you have to. But, you know, it's definitely a problem I see often. So I was on a call yesterday with a really small firm of ours. We not much budget, very, very small amount of revenue. And we were helping her with some basic stuff because, I mean, again, she didn't really afford kind of what we do. But I was like, hey, we can do this little thing for her and help.
Sure.
But she didn't show up to the meeting, you know, 15 minutes in, I call a couple of times. I did it on speakerphone with my team on the call. No answer. I didn't get a person on the phone. I couldn't even leave a voicemail. And this is the middle of the day, multiple times throughout the 15-minute waits that we did. And she needs her phone to ring in more leads. But you can't even call the firm and get a hold of anybody. So, you know, we can't send leads if you can't. So it's, you know, I see a lot more of those issues out there, especially with the small firms. Maybe they can't afford to hire a person to be sitting there all the time. And so they're doing casework or they're at court and then no one answers the phone and they have nothing in place. So you got to figure that out. I don't know what you do, you know, but if you're a small firm starting out, you got to figure that out. You can hire call centers or somebody. It's going to be better than nothing. But
that's right. Otherwise, you end up in the revolving circle of the client blaming SEO and then SEO having to, you know, be the bearer of bad news. It ain't us. Yeah. That's the problem here.
Yeah, 100%. So, all right. Well, Ben, I appreciate you so much for sharing today and talking about intake. Everyone, that's a huge problem I see out there. So, you know, deal with it. Get on it. Talk to Ben or me. I can connect you with Ben. And I'm sure he's happy to chat with you if you're you have a firm and you're trying to figure out what to do, where to start. And maybe you don't go as big as they did and went all in and spend as much or bring in the consultants, but there are things you can do to improve. And so first off, there's a awareness is the first step. So
that's right. And, you know, I'm an open book, more than happy to share any data, any information I can with anybody out there that may help them. So feel free to reach out to me, call me, email me, and I'll do whatever I can to steer you in the right direction or put you in touch with somebody that really knows what they're doing on intake.
Excellent. Well, Ben, I appreciate that. So yeah, check out lrobhope.com. Check out his firm. And again, if you drop a comment, if you're watching this on LinkedIn or anywhere, I'll connect you to. If you've got any questions, please ask them and we will get those to you. So, all right, Ben, well, I appreciate it. Have a good day, everyone. Ben, anything else to say before we go?
Nope, just appreciate you having me on and great to chat with you as always. And I'm sure we'll be in touch soon.
No, thank you so much for coming on and share with you and share with me and the audience here. So everyone, have a great day. Get out there. Call your own law firm on the way to the office one day and see how smooth it is.
That's right.
I'll talk to you soon.
Thank you for listening. We have been producing this podcast for years, have had hundreds of guests and produced hundreds of episodes. We don't ask for much, but I do have one ask. If you find value in this podcast, please share it with one person just like you. The best way to do that is to send them to ArrayDigital.com, where we have a full library of all the episodes that they can sort by practice area and or state. So again, we appreciate you listening and thanks for sharing.